Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin'.
Good to have you with us. Happy April 2nd. How did April Fool's Day go for you guys? I don't know about you, but I was spending it watching March Madness. I got to tell you, we have friends of ours, one of our friends' daughters playing on the Baylor's old ladies team. So we enjoyed some good basketball over the weekend. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Good to have you with us. And no, we did not have any April 1st spoofs on us, and we've got a teenage daughter who loves to do that. So hopefully you guys are ready for a good broadcast. We're thrilled to have you with us each and every week. A special thank you to our sponsors, as we say. We appreciate them making all of this possible. Most importantly, we want to say thank you to our listeners who dial in, tune in, whether it be over the phone or over the internet listening to us. We really appreciate you being a part of this and making this a part of your week and getting information on all that's going on in the mortgage industry. Special thank you goes out to our special guest today who we have with us, Kevin Stitt, who is president, founder of Gateway Mortgage. We're going to have Kevin on talk about his new correspondent lending program that he has just launched. There was a press release on it a few weeks ago, and actually probably almost a month ago. It was in the National Mortgage News on the 5th of March, March 5th. Word came out, very big announcement, and it got created quite a commotion. So we found out that Kevin was available. We jumped at getting him on. Not only that, I just can't wait for you to meet him for many, many reasons. Very exciting, very dynamic, very great company, and a good leader in the industry. So you want to stay tuned all the way to the end of the broadcast to learn how another avenue for you to sell your loans to. But as we do each and every week, let's start off with an update of what is going on in the markets. Joe Farr, good to have you with us. How's your Monday going?
Going fine, Dave. I overcame phone difficulties about 15 minutes ago, so I was a little concerned.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you with us. Yeah. So how are the markets? Speaking of, are we having some April Fools going on?
No. The market's up 6/32 on the day, which is a nice move higher. And I'll get into the move over the last couple of weeks in just a minute. But this morning, not a lot going on. There were a couple economic announcements made, neither of which had a big impact on prices. The ISM index came out a little higher than expected, above February, but not quite as good as January. And then construction spending came out lower than expected, so it was a bit of a surprise. But again, neither had a big immediate impact, and MBS prices have kind of ratcheted higher throughout the morning so far.
So let's get into last week.
Last week was nice.
Rise in prices.
Yeah, we had a nice little improvement in price, about a half a point in price. And there were two primary drivers last week. Again, Fed Chairman Bernanke's comments had an influence, and what he had to say was a little more of the same, but I guess further emphasis, and every time he says it, people react again. So one comment was the labor market remains weak, and the other is we remain ready to stimulate if need be. And so MBS prices have improved based on those comments, as well as a little bit of after a couple weeks off, Europe's back in the headlines, and this time it's Spain, not Greece, but Spain's going through a difficult time, passing a tighter budget and trying to implement those austerity measures. It's causing strikes, et cetera, and they seem to be doing what they need to do, but there's always a concern that the people just won't let them do it.
Yeah.
So, I mentioned a big improvement. It was March 13th when the Fed meeting ended and the statement was released. Investors really read into that an expectation of or a lower expectation for QE3. And subsequent to the 13th, by the 19th, the MBS prices had lost a point and a half in price.
That's right.
And so as we continue, since the 19th, we've seen a slow, steady improvement back to, we're just about 10 basis points from where we started the 13th. So we've just about fully recovered that ugly little drop that we had between the 13th and the 19th.
Joe, can I interject right there? Because that is just one of the reasons. How do markets correct, everybody? They correct suddenly, and then they work their way back slowly. You got to get a service like MBS Quoteline. You just got to get a service like this to be able to manage through that. Sorry, I had to just interject that, but it's a great point.
Fine.
Right on point.
Go on if you'd like.
Well, you know, I think everyone knows how the markets react. I think you have these kind of news services and this kind of monitoring service. It's just hugely valuable. So go on. I'm sorry.
Well, that's pretty well it. For the week last week, there wasn't a lot of economic news moving the market. Durable orders came out, fell a little short of expectation. And then the core PCE, which was one of the more important inflation measures for the Fed, came in pretty much as expected. So the economic news wasn't the mover last week. It was the Fed and Europe.
Fed and Europe. Well, what got coming up on the calendar this week?
Well, pretty much, the minutes from that meeting on the 13th, the March 13th Fed meeting come out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine that they're going to have much influence on anything. They came out, you know, the statement was released, and since then the Fed's done a lot to help people to understand what was meant by the statement. So I can't imagine a detailed reading of the minutes will, you know, reveal much more. So
No new revelations.
I wouldn't expect so. But there's lots of employment data coming out this week. You know, we have the jobs report on Friday, which is always the biggest event. But ADP comes out on Wednesday, and that'll be looked upon as what might happen on Friday. And then the unemployment claims, jobless claims, comes out on Thursday. But on Friday, the consensus calls for 200,000 new jobs and no change in the unemployment rate. So that'll be the big event for the week, Dave.
Well, that could be the big market mover, but again, let's see what happens. But if you have your service, folks, you're going to avoid those sudden drops. I just say this, how do markets adjust when there's negative news? It's called suddenly, and you need to have something like this. Joe, thank you so much for bringing it to us again this week. Appreciate everyone there at MBS Quote Line, and I appreciate you being a part of this broadcast each and every week. Stay tuned, folks.
Thanks, Dave.
We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quote Line delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quote Line, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quote Line today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you back. Alice and her team each and every week bring us an update on all that's going on in Washington, D.C. And you know what? There is just so much happening there to stay up on top of it. We sure appreciate you, Alice, and your team for bringing us up to date. Tell us what you've got going on. There's some news floating around about FHA, isn't there, Alice?
Yeah, there is, Dave. Well, we have a new bill that was introduced on March 27th, so just after our show last week. It's H.R. 4264, and it's a bill titled to help ensure the fiscal solvency of the FHA mortgage insurance program. And we all have heard in the news quite a bit about the Mutual Mortgage Insurance Fund itself.
Right.
So just to give everybody a quick little background, the capital reserves are sitting somewhere around just above $30 billion. So that's their, you know, their overall set aside. But Congress requires that there's a reserve up and above that amount, and that reserve is supposed to be at least 2% of its portfolio, which then, of course, is, you know, going to be around around $2.6 billion is what the reserve is, and the reserve is actually at 0.24%. That's the $2.6 billion. And so it's not big enough, you know, this reserve on top of the cash that they have available. So, you know, Carol Gallant was out testifying earlier at the end of February. She's saying FHA is not broke. You know, people are looking, though, that when FHA's actuarial study predicted what was going to happen with house prices, it's showing a pretty decent increase, you know, an increase of 1.2% in 2012 and another increase of 3.8%. And they use FEFA's numbers. Well, I don't know about you, Dave. How's Texas doing for property value increases?
Well, we may be better than the rest of the nation, but, boy, it is serious a problem across the country. So, hence, it sounds like Carol Gallant is having to give quite a bit of explanation as to where things are at.
Where they're coming from. Right. And so the study, the study being done annually is a problem because these projections for the house price are so critical in then subsequently declaring how the default, how much it's going to be in the defaults. So this bill, H.R. 4264, and there was another one out there that we reported on earlier, is trying to say when you're under cap, when your reserve is low, you've got to give us a report twice a year. We can't wait once a year. We've got to know what's going on more. So I get that, and, I mean, that's a lot of work and expense. But the part that concerns me is in the beginning of this bill, it is going to be setting new higher limits for the annual MIP. Mm. And it's going to be proposing that it allow the secretary to go up as much as to a full 2% annual MIP. So we're already in for MIP increases coming up on April 9th and then subsequently in June for the jumbo loans. So, you know, this bill is just kind of setting the stage that there's definitely still need to increase MIP again later on this year. The other part of the bill is going to piggyback off of the final rule that went into effect at the end of February that is really going to lock down lenders in terms of indemnification. So it is going to be really telling lenders if you've got fraud or misrepresentation in the final rule I talked about that went into effect, it had a 5-year look back. That's a big window.
Yeah,
this
it is.
Bill, as far as what I've been able to see right now, is saying it's wide open. It doesn't even say a 5-year window. It said if any time FHA sees fraud or misrepresentation in a file, at any time later, the lender would be liable for that loan. I don't know about you, but that makes me a little nervous, you know, that a loan could be 8 years old or more. So there is definitely some verbiage that we're still going to be studying, getting to the bottom of in terms of what is in this bill. And it is really trying to give FHA some more muscle in terminating lender's authority, terminating lender insurance authority. And so they will actually be looking at some big changes in FHA going forward. Well, so we will be watching this for you closely.
If they terminated someone, Alice, would they still have the liability, though? That stays with it for any loans that they originated. So if they terminated a relationship, that does not mean the lender's off the hook, correct?
Correct. Right. And, just because – and so for the lender insuring authority, there is a way for – if you just simply lose your insuring authority, you'll be able to after 6 months, if you get your compare ratio back in line, you'd be able to get, you know, back with FHA. And that's all part of the rule. But in terms of your all-out, your origination agreement, if that was terminated, we don't usually see those ever getting back for lenders, that lenders ever able to get that back. So, the bill also is proposing to establish a Deputy Assistant Secretary of FHA for Risk Management and Regulatory Affairs and establishment of a Chief Risk Officer for Ginnie Mae. So it's got a lot in here to try and strengthen those two agencies. Heads up, H.R. 4264. We will be watching it.
We will. Appreciate you bringing us an update on all of this, Alice. And you're off and traveling this week, are you not?
Yes, I'm off to California this week to do some training for a company, and then we'll be also speaking at the Mississippi Mortgage Bankers Conference on the 5th of April. So then we'll be speaking in Indiana, Dave, the following week, and Michigan.
That's right. I'm looking forward to being with you again next week. But well, safe travels to you, Alice. We appreciate you taking time, and I know you're not going to be able to join us for the rest of the broadcast. So safe travels, and we look forward to having you back next week with another update. Find out what develops between now and then. Amazing. Thank you so much, Alice. Appreciate you being with us.
You're welcome.
Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
Appreciate you being with us again this week and every week and telling others about the broadcast. Many of you comment how you value the point of having our beloved Profit Doctor give us updates on profitability. Mr. Shell, Profit Doctor, so good to have you on the broadcast. How are you doing?
Mr. Lincoln, it's such an honor to be here. It is the highlight of my week every week to be on Lincoln on Lending with you.
Oh, you are so kind, and I know there's an element to that, but there's also, you're not April fooling me, are you there, on that?
No. I ran out of my April Fool's jokes yesterday, and the ones that I did have didn't work very well. Although I got a really good one pulled on me, but...
No, I can't wait to hear about it. But we got a couple questions that are lingering over from last week. A couple people are saying, Andy, I'm getting really nervous about the call report. Any tips on anything I can do if I find myself in trouble? Am I doomed? I think this person, there may be a little more behind this question, Andy, than we probably would normally admit, than he wants to admit. But, if, in fact, they filed a call report, and if, in fact, they realize they got some issues, what would you recommend to someone who's got a state regulator in there and they're looking over the tops of their glasses with that judgmental look? What would you say to them?
That is a great question. Wow. That's a really, really good question. Well, I tell you, and the answer is a little bit fuzzy, I hate to say, because when I've been CFO of commercial banks and we had to file our monthly financial report and there was an error that was discovered, and it happens, there's some procedure that you follow in order to get the rectified report filed. And basically the state considers an inaccurate report to be a misfiled report or a not filed report. So a misfiled report is not filing the report, because unless you give them the information right, then it's not. So it's important to understand the magnitude of the misfiling, if it's financial or if it's activity-based reporting, and then get a sense for the effect it's going to have on the regulator. And some of that is going to be state-specific. So that's why I said it's a fuzzy answer, because if it was in Texas, you call up Doug Foster and you talk about it, you get some guidance from them. So unfortunately, it's going to mean that we need to get a little bit more research, but that is a great question. That's going to be an issue faced by many, many mortgage companies.
Yeah, I hate to say it is.
We'll help them work through it, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's one. And then the next question fits kind of succinctly alongside that. We hear you guys talking all the time about how the mortgage industry is now becoming a very regulated industry, and there's no question about that every time you listen to Alice's segment. Realize just how much so. And then we're telling people that they need to start looking at themselves as if they were a regulated FDIC banker. And so the question that comes out of that is, Andy, I think I have an idea of what that means and how to anticipate that. But do you have anything that I might be overlooking as it relates to how to act like an independent, or I mean a regulated mortgage banker instead of an independent mortgage banker?
Well, first off, the weight of the federal regulation that lands on a commercial bank is still different than what a mortgage bank faces. We're having to adapt to some regulations that are going to affect how we deploy technology, how we deal with change management within our technology, how we deal with accounting and record keeping and dealing with financial reporting issues. But generally, those things are all ultimately going to be good for our businesses because they're going to make us focus on our numbers more and focus on our technology more. Some of the things that currently mortgage banks aren't having to deal with is some of the extensive, very, very extensive lending criteria and policies and board governance. There's a whole chapter on depository governance that comes into play when you're really a regulated bank, and we're not having to deal with that yet. So while
there's a key word. The key word is yet.
Well, and who's until we are, then we're not. And I guess it's important to be prepared for some of that, but at the same time, we still are more entrepreneurial than a commercial bank. We're still able to be a little bit more adaptive than a commercial bank. We're still there are some benefits of being an independent mortgage banker. And even though it feels like we're getting landed on, I can assure you there's massive amounts of other stuff that hasn't hit yet. Or maybe it won't. We'll have to fight
and
that
maybe it
fight
won't.
Each
yeah.
step along the way.
Well, I was talking to Jan Wetzel of Wetzel Trot talking about the amount of what's now being required of servicers, and there is so much in this area. So, it's good to point out that while it may look like we are being feeling more and more like we're regulated as if we were a depository, the reality is it's still not as bad. So there's still a lot of advantages to be an independent mortgage banker, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it.
And that's not to say to speak in any way sounding like we're speaking disparaging to the commercial regulated entities that are out there listening to the broadcast or part of the industry. Both are needed. Both are important. One last question comes from the CPA. This is a CPA writing us. Andy, love your perspective. Is there anything on the FASB rule changes that we need to be aware of? You're getting to be known as a FASB expert.
Well, that's a scary thing because I have some other people I call who are the FASB experts. You know, the IFRC, the International Financial Reporting Standards that are being discussed and maybe coming down the path are something that we all just need to be aware of. And to the extent that those would augment or even potentially circumvent GAAP, as it's become known based on the pronouncements from the Financial
Right.
Accounting Standards Board, could all go away or be supplemented or extinguished, depending on how the International Financial Reporting Standards come into play. So for the rank-and-file mortgage banker listening to the show, it's probably just put it away that there's maybe accounting rules coming, but for the most part, it's not going to affect what you do on a day-to-day basis. For the accountants, it's something to be aware of because it could affect how we look at financial statements when we perform an audit.
Significant. And folks, I appreciate these questions that you've emailed me or sent me or what, you know, they come by all sorts of means. Please send them to me because we love trying to stump the professor, also known as the prophet doctor. But we really want to answer your questions. These have been, many of you have said how this has been some of the best things. It's always lovely hearing what Andy prepares, but it's really nice to be able to send our questions in. And there are a lot of questions floating around there. If you want to email them to us, send them to D as in David, LYKKEN at mbs-team.com or at send them to the prophet doctor himself, Aschell, Aschell, at mbs-team.com. Love to respond to all those questions and concerns that are out there. We appreciate you tuning in and listening to us. And prophet doctor, thank you so much for being there and bringing us another round of wisdom.
Well, Dave, it's always fun. It's always a pleasure. It's always a joy to be with you.
I appreciate it. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down
on a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back. I was just scrolling up and down all of you that are dialed in. I've got all you see all your phone numbers on here. We appreciate so much you dialing in and being a part of the broadcast. This really means a lot to us. We're doing this as a public service to the industry. And anytime you do something and you give time like this, it's always nice to know it's appreciated and listened to, that our efforts are going for something. We appreciate your feedback as well. So call us, email us, whatever you want, the suggestions that you have or even topics that you want covered. We appreciate hearing directly from our listeners. Each and every week, we have Tony Garitano, also known as Mr. Technology, talking to us about LinkedIn. We just got into it a little bit last week, and I got to make sure, I just realized that it's really important that I turn on Tony's mic here. So I'm looking away here on the switchboard to make sure his mic's on. There you are, Tony. Good to have you with us again.
Good to be here, Dave, and I wanted to certainly echo what Andy said earlier. It is great to be a part of the radio show. You guys do a wonderful job.
Well, it is a joy to do it, and it's a passion. And, again, what we really want to do is try to help the industry. And what we're also doing, we're doing a little of that on LinkedIn, but I want you to kind of give us the Mr. Technology's perspective on LinkedIn. So why should you, a listener, be interested in LinkedIn? Tony, give them the answer.
Well, I got some statistics that I think are very compelling for you, Dave, and for your listeners. As of the end of 2011, there are 101 million members worldwide on LinkedIn.
Wow.
So there are lots of people there. And what I also thought was interesting was they broke it down by age group. And those 18 to 24 make up 17% of the population on LinkedIn. 25 to 34 make up 32%. 35 to 54 make up 41%. And
wow.
Those that are 54 and older still make
my
up
crowd.
10%. You know, they still make up 10%, Dave.
I'm in that older crowd. So it's nice to know, but it's interesting about that. That implies that there's a lot of professionals in there. And we certainly have seen that with the discussion group. We have a group out there, for many of you that know about it. We have the LinkedIn discussion group, LO Compensation, or Loan Originator Compensation and New Rules. It's got over 4,300 members. It's an active group, and I encourage you to become part of it. But what's the best way to use LinkedIn, Tony?
Well, the good news, Dave, is that the two highest industries in terms of their participation on LinkedIn is, of course, number one is technology, but number two
right.
is finance. So our industry is number two right next to technology, and 69 of the top Fortune 100 companies are on LinkedIn. So it's a great way to network. And everyone is on it, and you really need to be on it as well. When you're on LinkedIn, you need to think about your goals. Why are you on LinkedIn? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to get work? Are you trying to partner with people? Are you trying to get your name out there? That's going to determine how you use it. And I know most people don't like their pictures, but it is really important that you post a picture because it's a social
yeah.
group. People want to know what you look like, and if they don't know what you look like or your profile isn't filled, that may lessen the impact of being on LinkedIn for you. It also helps you remember names, Dave, and I know you probably encounter this as I do. I get tons of people that come up to me at conferences. They say they've talked to me. They say we've had a conversation, and for the life of me, I have no clue that I talked to these guys before. So LinkedIn is great to help you remember names and to put faces with the names. So this way, if you have the opportunity to meet these people in person, you know who they
yeah.
are. And you can
know
also
what's so
your...
funny? Go,
no,
ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
Dave.
Finish your thought there. You finish your thought there. I'll let you...
You know, when you create those headlines on LinkedIn, a lot of people
right.
just give their title, But you should put adjectives. You know, say that you're
yes.
a talented professional, or that you're an aspiring whatever. You know, give people some insight into you that makes them engage with you. So there are a lot of cool tips on how you can get the most out of your profile as well.
Or you're a new correspondent lender, such as our next guest is. So we got that's a great tool. You know what I found interesting for years? I've collected business cards. I got a card scanner. I got the 800C. I scan yep. religiously every card I ever pick up, and I stick it in there. But that database gets so old and so huge, and I'm going, I am almost getting to the point where I now use LinkedIn as the place. And if that same thing happens to me at the conferences, and you go, where do I know that person from? You go to their LinkedIn discussion, you see where they've worked, you go, oh, yeah, I know where it was, and you connect, and it's those jock. It's a wonderful tool. Wish I had thought about that. That IPO's done fairly well, too, Tony.
Very well indeed. You know, if you've got some money, it's a good place to put it, I think.
I think it's still in. A lot of people say it's just at the beginning yet. So appreciate you, Tony. Garrett Tom, for being a part of it. Again, Tony is the founder of the Progress in Lending Association. You can connect with Tony by emailing him at Tony, T-O-N-Y, at progressinlending.com. And, Tony, you've got an event coming up just in front of the MBA Technology event. You want to give us a quick plug on that?
Sure. We're recognizing the top innovations when it comes to mortgage technology April 22nd in Phoenix, Arizona. Go to progressinlending.com to find out more about it, RSVP online to attend. We hope to see you there. And connect with me on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm looking forward to being there, being part of the conference as always. Appreciate you being with us, Tony. Have a great week, and we'll look forward to having you back in next week.
Thanks, Dave.
Have a great time. Good week, Tony. Talk to you soon. We'll be right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Good to have you with us. Appreciate you tuning in and telling others about it. Again, that's how we get the word out about it. We don't do a lot of advertising, so this is word of mouth. Let's get out and talk briefly just what all is going on. There's some headlines that have been hitting, that are getting out there. One recent headline I talked at the beginning of the broadcast was obviously there's been a lot of headlines about people exiting the industry as it relates to the correspondent lenders. Big concern, especially when you see Ally, B of A, cutting back programs. A lot of people are going, who's coming in? Well, there was a refreshing breath of air blew through the room. Refreshing air came into the industry when we heard the announcement on March 5th that Gateway Mortgage is planning to open a new correspondent division, and we have the president and CEO, Kevin Stitt, with us from Tulsa, Oklahoma, who's also the founder of Gateway Mortgage. Kevin, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Dave. It's good to be here.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to sit and listen and visit with you, and there's so much going on as it relates to the industry. Let's start with some questions about what you're doing, but I want to start more on a macro basis. What did you see in the economy, Kevin, that made you want to enter the correspondent lending?
I'll answer that. First, I wanted to tell you thank you for your last guest, Tony. I am embarrassed to say I'm not in LinkedIn yet, and with 101 million members, I'm going to have to get in there. Even you told me that you're in that, and you tried to find me, and I will be in that the next time you look in there, Dave.
Well, that's good. We want to look you up. I think a lot of our listeners are going to want to look you up, and it's a great way to get to know people on that. But they can go to your website, so let's start off with that real fast because everyone's saying, correspondent lender, I need a place to sell loans. Where can I go to do it? What is the website? Let's start off with that, and then we'll end with that.
It's gatewayloan.com.
Gatewayloan.com. Good. All right, so let's get into it. So what did you see in the economy? What was the driving factors that brought you to the point where you wanted to open up a correspondent lending operation?
Well, we saw three things. First off, we're really bullish on the economy, especially real estate. We just think that the future is very, very bright, that property values have fallen. There's just more upside, in our opinion, on property values than downside risk. And then the other thing is credit quality. We feel like as an industry as a whole, the originations today are as good as they've been in the last 20 years. And so that was very encouraging for us to think about, especially on the delegated side, allowing others to underwrite the loans and then we purchase them.
Well, Kevin, this is Joe Farr. You got in when nobody else was. That's kind of a bold thing. What were your thoughts there?
Well, you're right. There were a lot of large banks that had exited, and we felt like they did really for regulatory issues. Basel III, we think, caused a lot of the big banks to stop buying or stop having the need to buy a lot of the correspondent loans, and then also just a strategic de-emphasis in mortgage-related assets. A lot of folks got hurt, with the subprime meltdown, and I think a lot of the banks were licking their wounds and they just decided to get out of it, and we just felt like that was a really good opportunity with fewer loan buyers in the market. You know, for companies like Gateway, it just created an opportunity to provide some liquidity to some, mortgage bankers and small depositories that used to sell to those big banks.
Well, Kevin, it's Andy, and it's great having you on the show, and I really appreciate you taking the time. I have a real affinity for correspondent lending. My team built correspondent lending for Bank of America back in the 90s. I love the business.
Oh, great.
I think it's a great path, and it's great to see you guys stepping up and providing this access for mortgage bankers around the country. You know, you mentioned just a second ago about Basel III, and big banks like B of A are significantly impacted by that. So what is Basel III?
It is a new banking regulation took over after Basel II. But basically it limits the amount of mortgage servicing rights on depository institutions and also banks with over non-depository institution with assets over $50 billion are also affected by it. But it limits the mortgage servicing rights that you can carry on your balance sheet to 10.5%. And so a lot of the bigger guys had a significant amount of their balance sheet was in mortgage servicing rights, so there's really no need for them to buy correspondent loans anymore, and they don't need it doesn't do them much good from a balance sheet's perspective. With Gateway, we're privately held and non-bank, so we didn't really have to worry about the Basel III. We just were interested in the economics of the servicing.
Now, Kevin, what's amazing about this, and a point that I don't want to miss for the audience, is that when these big correspondent players buy the loans, they're going to be retaining the servicing and selling the security off through the securitization process to Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie. Because of this limitation you're talking about, going from what was 100% capital down to 10% of the capital can be matched on MSRs, and the MSRs are when they retain the servicing. This basically shuts down the correspondent activity of B of A, Wells, Citi, Chase, all of the big ones, and Wells and I think Chase, there's a couple of them that already are above the cap. So this is an opportunity for you guys because these big aggregators are going to have to be paying less for the price because they can't put it on their books anymore except to the extent that they have runoff. So it's going to be a great opportunity. This is a huge, huge, huge issue for mortgage banks, and it's great to see you guys stepping in and helping to fill the gap. Congratulations on seeing the vision. That's really awesome, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. I wondered what else. Was it purely timing or what else got you in the market right now?
Well, timing played a big fact. big factor, like we said, that with the big guys exiting, we knew there was a little vacuum there with small banks and mortgage bankers not having as many options on selling their loans, and they didn't want to service or didn't have the infrastructure to service loans, so they have to sell them off. And then, you know, we also saw an opportunity as Bank of America exited. We were able to pick up some really, really good talent with some guys getting out and people that knew what they were doing and very knowledgeable and experienced in the industry. So that made us feel comfortable, you know, entering the space. And then, the like we said before, the economics of servicing, we've built, you know, you have to build not only your loan administration side of servicing, but you also have to build your default side. And after that's built, it's pretty expensive to get all that infrastructure and policy and procedures on your servicing side in place. And our servicing portfolio is about $1.5 billion now. And with the infrastructure and the people we have in place, really we just need more loans. And so it was just a nice way to continue to feed that servicing operation that we put in place.
I want to get into you really started to talk a little bit about yourself, and I think people need to get to know Gateway Mortgage and get to know you a little bit, Kevin. I think I really enjoyed my conversations with you when we were talking before you know the pre-call that we have with every one of our guests, talking to what we want to get into. But there was a lot of things about Gateway that are really unique and special. What is Gateway Mortgage, and tell us a little bit about you guys?
Well, yeah, I enjoyed that conversation too, Dave. Gateway, we're one of the largest privately held mortgage companies here in the Midwest, based here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at our main operations center out of Dallas, and pretty vanilla as far as conventional FHA, VA. We do Section 184 loans, which is big in certain states, which is the Indian Loan Program, and then USDA loans. We're retail and correspondent are our two channels, and then we have the you know, the servicing portfolio that we manage of about $1.5 billion, and then we just started a specialty servicing operation as well to offer those services to others that want to retain the servicing rights but don't have the infrastructure built to service. So that's who we are from a business perspective. As far as, you know, our values, you know, I tell our employees that values and keeping your priorities in line are the number one most important thing, and that's putting God first, then family, then business. And so I tell all of our employees, if they will keep their priorities straight, that everything else will take care of itself.
It's so good to hear someone talking about that. Go ahead, Andy. I know I heard you jumping in there.
You know, there are a lot of thoughts running through my mind, Dave. This is awesome to have Kevin on the show. I guess one of the next thoughts I had, Kevin, is for you to expand on that a little bit about how this relates to your company, because I think you're about to go somewhere where it's a little unusual for the business. But what does Gateway stand for, and how are these values, using the word values associated with mortgages, kind of an unusual thing? It's a good thing. I'm excited to see it. But how does Gateway stand for? What does Gateway stand for, and how were these values developed?
Okay. Well, like I said, you know, we the people that are attracted to us and that we're attracted to are people that try to keep their priorities straight, and you know, so we really do preach values and try to keep God first, then your family, then business, and I think that promotes just a family culture, you know, a supportive working environment. You know, our people just really buy into it. And some of the special projects and things that we've been able to do, we had an initiative called Gateway 2.0, where we took our company and we divide them into teams of about 10-person groups, and we gave them each $1,000 and told them they could do anything they want with it. They just had to go spend that money and serve their community. And we wanted to make a video of it, and then play it back for our mid-year company meeting. And so it was just really exciting to see all the different ideas that came out of that. And we gave them
great.
A day off.
I love it.
Yeah, it was really cool. They created, you know, different, you had servicing guys getting with the county department, and we kind of mixed it up a little bit. And, you know, you had people do shoe drives and to blood drives to Blue Star Mothers sending care packages to our soldiers, and One of our groups built a playground and got it taken their $1,000 and I think they donated that, but they got Home Depot to donate some of the materials and to a terminally ill girl. And so you couldn't watch our videos without just tearing up. It was pretty cool. So we enjoy doing things like that. We built, in 2009, Gateway built a school in Nigeria, and it's called the Gateway Christian Model School, and it houses and it's K through, I think, high school, and it goes has about 300 students over there. So we just do really cool projects like that, and we love giving back to our community.
You know what? I've been saying that, Joe. I'm going to get over you in just a minute, but I think I just want to add in that. For a lot of business owners, that there's a lot of people that share that. You wonder why some companies succeed and why some companies prosper through difficult times. I think it's, you really get in and drill in and get to know people and get what drives. A lot of people say, well, he's based in Tulsa. Of course, he's in the Bible Belt. They all do that up there. Well, I'll tell you what you're going to find, listeners, is that those that are giving back in some way, shape, or form, you may not call yourself a Christian organization or that, but you're giving back to the industry. I can't tell you about what an impact that can have on your business. So, Joe, let's get back into some of the business things. I know I could go on that topic. So go on, Joe.
Well, it sounds like a lot's going on, but give us a little update on all the new things. It sounds like you have a number of new initiatives going on, so help us with that.
Yeah, sure. Well, the correspondent division is the top thing that we're just kind of all pushing forward and we're really excited about, but also that subservicing group that I told you about. We feel like we have the number one default manager for Ginnie Mae portfolio in the country working managing our default group. And so we started a subservicing operation to help people that are having a little bit of trouble in that area. Whether it's delinquency ratios or high FHA curtailments, things like that. So that's why we started a subservicing group. And then our thematic goal this year, which is kind of cuts across all divisions within our company, is grow the trunk. And what we mean by that is sometimes you grow a little bit fast, and maybe if you're too top heavy, if you picture a tree and you've got branches growing out, and if you don't develop the right infrastructure and the right support team on the trunk, then that tree could tip over because it's too top heavy. So as a 12-year-old company, we haven't really slowed down and focused on the infrastructure, and that's kind of our initiative this year is grow the trunk. So I wanted to throw that out there. I think that's a good little catchphrase
that is
we came up with.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Kevin, Sandy, one of the things about evaluating a correspondent operation is where do the loans go? Because it's essential that it be, agency directors. Otherwise, you're just a second-tier aggregator. And I know you guys are agency direct, so that's a big push. And it also means you've got to have strong, capable staff on board to take the infrastructure that's been created and make it mean something and deliver a quality product out to your correspondents. So what have you done? Have you made additions to your management team in order to help some of these new endeavors?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, on our secondary, we're very, very blessed to have Lee Barden. He's our vice president of the secondary group, and so he creates all the securities, and you're correct. We create securities monthly, and we deliver to Jenny and Fannie and then retain the servicing. But as far as managing the risk, Molly Davis is our chief compliance officer, and just so excited to have her. She came from one of the large banks, and she was over the correspondent group as far as credit risk, and so we're excited to have her. We picked her up, and then Scott Henley manages the correspondent group, and we've got Greg Comar and Jared Edmonds, and then from an operations standpoint, Linda Garlock is the operations and over the purchase review area for the correspondent group. So that's kind of those guys manage everything. Lee does the secondary side.
So Kevin, on you got into correspondence when people are getting out, and now you're telling us about developing a subservicing group when servicing's got all these uncertainties. Tell us a little bit about how you are, or why you chose to develop that subservicing unit right now.
Okay. Whether you have one loan or you're servicing 50,000 loans, you still have to have certain pieces of the puzzle in place, and that's what we call loan administration and default services. So once you've developed those two pieces, we just have excess capacity and we need more loans in the door. The default services part of servicing was something that I did not realize when we got into it, but it's a huge piece, and that's what you call the collections or your delinquent borrowers, and there's just a waterfall of different options you have to provide the delinquent borrowers, whether it be modifications and the different programs that are mandated out there by Fannie or Ginnie. And then even going down through short sales, and the final piece would be foreclosure, would be the last resort. So you have to have a team that can take all those and follow the timelines and make sure you're doing everything you're supposed to do. So once we had that in place, we just thought it was a great opportunity because we knew that a lot of the other guys that were using your traditional subservicers, they're not focused on that. With the increase in FHA volume going from 10% of the overall volume to 50%, there's just not a lot of expertise in that Ginnie side of servicing. And so we feel like if you own that servicing rights, you're on the hook. FHA, Ginnie, Freddie are going to be looking to you to follow the rules, and whether your subservicer does it or not, you almost have to have develop a team just to watch them, and that's why we are getting into this space, because it's something that we have some expertise in, and we can really help some small guys instead of going to the huge servicers, subservicers. Yeah.
So Kevin, as people sell you loans as a correspondent, you give them the option to sell you the loans and keep the servicing and use subservice for them.
There is some cross selling there between our subservicing group and our correspondent guys, but mostly the correspondent guys are just buying the loan service release from our correspondents and banks. So that's 99% of it. We do have that. If some of the guys are a direct Fannie seller, they could sell to Fannie, and then they could assign the servicing to us, and we could take care of that for them.
Okay. Well, how's it going so far?
Well, we think it's going really well. We just started in March, and it takes a while to set up the guidelines, the contracts, train your staff, and get everything set. But we've had a great lock month in March, and then April is our first month to actually start purchasing loans on this division. We've been doing it with a few of our, clients that we're very, very familiar with before, but this is the true launch here in April.
Well, Kevin, I'm a mortgage banker. I want to sign up. So what areas of the country are you currently servicing with a correspondent business, and what are your plans to expand?
Well, it's the 10 states here in the Midwest is where we're starting out. We just really understand the property values, and we can provide the best service. And that's really our three AEs. That's kind of what they covered before at their previous location. But that's not to say if you call me from Jackson Hole, Wyoming in the wintertime, I wouldn't want to fly out there and meet you.
Exactly.
with skis in hand.
But it's Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, Alabama, New Mexico, Colorado, kind of that general area. Alabama, I don't know if I said Alabama.
Well, and then who? What other characteristics do you expect to see from your clients? How big? How much volume?
The net worth requirements are $1 million net worth, depository institution or mortgage bankers. Best efforts is the clientele that we're going after right now. We haven't started a mandatory group yet.
Okay.
That's kind of our customer. So anywhere from a guy doing $30 million a year to a couple hundred million.
Okay.
Someone just sent me a quick question here and said, hey, would you ask Kevin how's it going with the warehouse lenders? Any issues getting, in order for someone to sell the loans, they got to get on the warehouse. Any issues with the warehouse lenders getting you guys approved as a correspondent lender? That's a question that literally came hot off the press from our audience.
Yeah. No, that's a great question. Our group, Scott Henley and the guys and the CFO have been working with the different warehouse banks to get us on their list, and so we've made it through half of them. There are some that we haven't made it through with, and so we're working on those. So if there's anybody that wants to sell to us, we'll let you know right up front who's on our approved list, and then we'll obviously contact your warehouse bank and find out what it takes to get on their list.
Well, the last question, we only have time for one more question as we look at the clock here. This broadcast just goes so quickly. And but let's talk about the value proposition. You know, why should people be signing up for you? Give us a little bit more insights into the value proposition of Gateway Mortgage Correspondent.
Okay. Well, we think that a bank or mortgage group would love to sell to us because we're not a banking institution. We don't run from that. We basically tell you that. We're not going to be competing on the for checking accounts, and we're not going to compete for other types of loans. We're just an independent mortgage company, and we just want to service your loans and provide better service than the other guy. But I think that's a really hot button with a lot of the smaller depositories that are just selling their loans up river to the bigger banks.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's got to be a real advantage because a lot of the community banks or credit unions go, well, I don't want to sell my loan into some guy who's going to be soliciting for checking accounts. So for the community bankers, that's a real big plus.
Absolutely. And then turn times, we're closer to 5 to 7 days. While
wow.
We've heard a lot of those guys are 20 to 30 days, and that can really help when you've got liquidity. You're bumping up against your warehouse lines. You need to get those lines moved. As mortgage bankers, we just want to keep rolling those lines, and so we really help there. And then very, very competitively priced. So
I was going to go to pricing because. Well, yeah, I was going to go to pricing because everyone's wanting to know. Okay, sounds good, but what's the price? If he's an aggregator in there, is he just? Are we going to just be really at it behind the ball? So you've got competitive pricing. That's outstanding.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's get to your website. Well, Andy, I think you had a question, right?
Yeah, Kevin, real quick. I had because the other thing that's even almost in my opinion something more important than price is because you're doing Ginnie Mae securities, you're doing Ginnie Mae direct, you're just FHA straight up. The thing that's killing everybody is all the overlays.
Yeah.
And this is not a question that we prepped you on that was going to come at you. If you want to, we can talk about it later. That's okay. But what's your perspective on the overlays for your Ginnie Mae pools?
What are overlays?
Great. Well, what a great response.
We are about performing loans, and so we look at it from that perspective, and we don't really have we're looking for the 620 borrower and above, but can we make exceptions of that? Yes, much more so than the big banks. We're looking for performing loans, so if something makes sense, we want to make that loan for not only you but also for the borrower. So much more flexible. They can get a hold of me. I mean, we have credit committee all the time to review loans. If our partners, which are our correspondents, need us to do something for them, and they have some certain deals, we definitely will take a look at it.
Kevin, we got to ask the next question, and that's HARP 2.
HARP 2, yeah.
Are you taking those loans?
We're not taking those loans yet.
Okay.
We're currently looking into that. Molly's looking into that.
Okay.
Well, I tell you, there's two things. I mean, the whole broadcast, everything. It's just encouraging to find you into the game, especially when we see the big banks, Basel driving a lot of them out or limiting their activity, to see someone boldly stepping up and doing it in a quality way. Kevin, that is very encouraging. Again, let's tell our listeners how they can learn more about you. Where can they go? What's the website? Gateway?
It's gatewayloan.com, and I'll give you your phone number here.
Not Gateway Lending, Gateway Loan, everybody. Write that down, gatewayloan.com. And the phone number to call into your group?
918-526-5235. And that's
my
phone number, because I can't remember Scott Henley's right off the bat here. He's directly to the correspondent. So call me, and I'll get you with Scott.
That's good. That's excellent. Well, I appreciate you taking time to out of your busy schedule. It's really an honor to get to know you, Kevin. I really gave $1,000 to each employee, gave them a paid day off, and says, go do something for the community. That is I hear a lot of good things, but that is exciting. That is just a concept that we need to have. We got to have you back just to hear more how that went.
Hey, anytime. I really enjoyed it, guys.
It was really a pleasure to have you here with us. We appreciate it, Kevin. Have yourself a great week. Again, anyone want to go out there, Gateway Loan, www.gatewayloan.com. We're at the end of the broadcast. We appreciate you being with us each and every week and telling others about it. We do have a lot going on and we've got a lot of broadcast schedule. We have people calling us, hey, I'd like to get on your broadcast, talk to you about that. Send us your ideas. We've got some great discussions coming up in weeks ahead, and you're not going to want to miss the broadcast. And we switch it around. If we got a hot topic, we'll switch around. Nice thing about owning this whole thing, we can roll the schedule. So, Joe and Andy, let's start with you. Joe, what's the markets like?
I still at up 6. We've had a little improvement that, but has come back. So, you know, it's quiet afternoon.
All right, so it looks like we got a quiet day. Andy, Joe, so good to have you both with us. I just looked at the calendar. We got to cut this thing off. Andy, we'll get your thoughts next week. Appreciate you being with us each and every week, everybody. Tell your friends about it. Go to LickinOnLending.com. LickinOnLending.com. LYKKEN.com. LickinOnLending.com. And also email us your thoughts and questions. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you soon.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.